Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So today we are in the second chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. We started this series a few weeks ago after 108 episodes of Prema Vahini. And the idea has always been to make it a participative satsang, to make it a journey for all of us together, to dwell on what Bhagwan has so beautifully, so insightfully, and so painstakingly written. And as we read every word that Bhagwan has written, personally, I always marvel at so much that has been given to us so freely. In fact, on many occasions, I remember when Bhagwan's discourse would be made available to all the devotees, the next day after Bhagwan had delivered in the Sai Kurvant Hall, and it would be sold for just 2 rupees, and I would think, oh my God, they are giving away such precious thing just for 2 rupees. This is gold, because it can give us permanent happiness. And we spend so much amount of money for something so trivial. So if we actually look at what Bhagwan has gifted us with, and if we make use of that to add brightness to our lives, we will glow all the time in His glory, in His love. So with Bhagwan's blessings, we continue this series. So we are in the second chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. So let me play for you the first segment of this chapter. And today, by Bhagwan's blessings, we have two brothers who are former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions, Dr. K.M. Ganesh, who after his PhD in Bhagwan's University is currently a research associate in the Department of Chemistry. And we also have Brother Bhargav, who works in the administrative block of Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. And both of them, like so many of Bhagwan's students, have great relish for Bhagwan's teachings. And so as we listen to what Bhagwan has written, we will pray to Him to guide our thoughts, so that at the end of this hour, at least, we would be a little wiser than what we were when we started. So with prayers to Bhagwan, let's listen to what Bhagwan has gifted us in the second chapter.
Namaskaram, Swami.
Happy to see you. You seem very tired, and in this summer, travel is even more exhausting. Take rest for a little while. We can converse thereafter.
When there is no peace of mind, how can one rest?
Well, my boy, rest is for the sake of peace of mind. Once you have that peace, where is the need for rest? There is need for a bandage until the wound heals. After that, what use is it for?
Swami, now my mind is restless. It does not seem to be interested in anything. I do not know why. What should I do?
Well, no effect can take place without a cause. You do certainly know the cause of your present condition. Well, nothing needs to be done. At such times of mental pain, sit in a lonely place and do Namasmarana for a while, or sing bhajans or devotional songs in full throat. If that is not possible, spread the bed and sleep for some time. Later, you can think about all this.
You have told us that in this world, each one has a thing which is dear to them. And if that thing is subjected to any harm, that is when mind loses its peace. If someone disregards or disrespects the thing that is dear to me, How can I be in peace? What should we do then?
Well, a virtuous person who has grasped Atmavichara will not disrespect others' likes and dislikes, nor will he associate with them. He will be conscious of the fact when he dislikes a thing dear to another person, the pain that the other person undergoes is as much as the pain that he experiences when a thing dear to him is disrespected by others. Therefore, be at peace with yourself, realizing that those who abuse like this are people ignorant of Atmavichara. Since you are engaged in Atmavichara, you should have nothing to do with those who are ignorant of Atmavichara. Well, what has really happened to cause all this? Only when what is there inside comes out will you find relief.
Swami, you are providing support, vouchsafing courage and guiding so many to become spiritually, physically and mentally better. How you have rendered medical and educational help to so many is widely known. You have never harmed anybody in any way and can never do that. How to contain those people who spin and spread all sorts of silly stories about you? Do they gain anything by all this?
Oh, so this is the story. Well, don't you know that good and bad are the very nature of the world? If all are engaged in selling, who will do the buying? With regard to God, fault-finding has come down from the beginning of time. It is not new. However, the present-day people might manufacture new tales. Well, why do you consider that as abuse? Take it that they are only remembering Swami in this way. You have Prema Smarana and Dvesha Smarana. Of these, Dvesha Smarana is Avidya Maya. It is related to Rajoguna. Prema Smarana is Vidya Maya. It is related to Sattva Guna. Avidya Maya results in Dukkha. Vidya Maya results in Ananda. Their results are already embedded in them. Now, why should you control? You asked about the gain, isn't it? They don't need any gain. Finding fault with others has become their habit. They do it as their duty. As the saying goes, what does the moth care or gain whether the sari inside the box cost 100 rupees or is cheap? To gnaw and tear is its nature. The moth tears equally a costly sari or a rag. Does it know the value of things? This is how it works. So be at peace, realizing that the work of these fault finders is the same as the work of these moths.
Swami, what you said is true. We can consider ignorant people to belong to the brood of moths. But when people who are well known and well educated also subscribe to such stories, how can we tolerate it?
Vidya means Atmajnana. It is not the knowledge of things related to the world which helps one lead life in the physical world and earn one's livelihood. To compare Atmajnana with such knowledge is a great mistake. Great men are those who are imbued with good qualities, who do not abuse others and search for the reality. Spiritual matters cannot be understood by those who have no discrimination and are puffed up with the authority they have, or by those ignorant people who are unaware of Atmajnana. So, consider those whom you described as educated and great as belonging to the brood mentioned above, and without yielding place to such ideas and worries, engage yourself in strengthening your beliefs.
So, that is what Bhagwan has written in this first segment of chapter 2 of Sandhya Nivarini. And then, brothers, as you heard, I think there are many big words here, isn't it? Atmagyana, Atmavichara, Premasmarana, Dveshasmarana. But it starts very simply. Starts with the simple word of take rest for a little while. Mm-hmm. Like Bhagavan says that you are very tired. I know it is summer. We all can relate to the summer now. And travel is even more exhausting, Swami says. Take rest for a little while. I think, you know, first, even when you have a doubt or whatever, first take rest for a little while. I think first, as you are saying, just calm down. Then we can converse later. And one very beautiful thing that Bhagavan says here, he says, well, my boy, rest is for the sake of peace of mind. Once you have that peace, where is the need for rest? I think this is something which really sets you thinking, isn't it? We take rest for peace of mind, Swami says. But if you are at peace, you don't need rest actually.
Exactly. In fact, in Prashanti Vahini, Swami very clearly says that we are all looking for happiness.
Mm.
But the real happiness is in peace.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are happy, when you are actually peaceful, you are in a state of happiness.
Yes.
And that we don't actually think of resting at that time.
Yes.
Because we are full of energy, positivity.
Yes.
So, I mean, in that context, if you see, if you see from that perspective, it gives a very clear understanding of what Swami is meaning.
In fact, it really reminds me of that conversation Mr. Raman Rao had with Bhagwan many years ago, where Swami had gone out in the morning and distributed clothes and a lot of gift items to people who were affected with a particular calamity. Many years ago, I think this was in the 70s, there was waters that had come inside. And so Swami had spent that whole morning looking after these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so Raman Rao sir suggests to Swami in the afternoon, Swami, today I think it is good you take some rest. And that is when Swami says, rest? What is rest? I don't know what is rest.
Beautiful.
And Swami says that, do you think I go out to give darshan to these people? What else Swami goes out for? You know? Swami said, actually, I go out to have darshan of all these people who come. And immediately Raman Rao sir said, you know, it is atishayakti. Atishayakti means, you know, it's exaggeration.
Exaggeration.
Yeah. Swami, what are you saying? I mean, you are going to have their darshan, people's darshan. But immediately Swami turns and, you know, and looks straight into his eyes. You think it is atishayakti? Swami says, this is the fact. I go out because all these people, they have come at my invitation. All these people who have come at my sankalpa. So I go actually to see them. I go to have their darshan. So I have to go. There is no question of rest for me. I mean, there lots of things are there in this. But why I suddenly remembered this is, how for Bhagwan, even though he had physically spent 3-4 hours in the morning doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, as someone was saying, you know, if you are walking and someone is taking Padnamaskar, you know, it's difficult for us to perhaps imagine, but actually it's a very, very difficult experience. And it's a very, just imagine you are walking and somebody is constantly
trying to stop you.
Trying to stop you, actually.
Suddenly pulls your rope sometimes.
And you're doing that not for 10 minutes, you're doing that for like 1 hour. You know, after that you say, oh, enough man, I just want to relax for some time. As like, I remember another brother who was serving Swami for many years mentioning that, you know, you try to hold letters in your hand. The way Bhagwan used to hold letters. Because Swami used to keep letters between all his fingers. He said, you just try to do that. That itself is not easy.
Very strenuous. It is very strenuous.
Because, you know, if you're trying, and Swami would pack, because so many letters, I think we have seen photographs, you can see also.
Yes.
You know, he would pack, between his finger, he used to pack so many letters. Okay, so, what I'm trying to say is, even though physically Swami was telling, demonstrating to us that, you know, if you are at peace, you don't need that rest only. As Swami said, change of work is rest. And for Swami, it was always that.
Yes.
I think that is something very beautiful here. Swami says, if you have peace, I think if constantly, if you are feeling, I'm getting tired, you know, I'm not able to, which happens to many of us, I think what we should try to do is, can I do whatever I was doing till now with more peace? I think that is one exercise.
More concentration, yes.
With more peace. Then maybe then I will not get so tired. If I'm getting so tired, which means perhaps, you know.
One of the secret which Swami says is like, if you dedicate every act of yours to God, as an offering to God, you'll do with that anandam, that this is an offering to God.
Okay. That positivity.
That so the positivity and that love for God. Because when the moment you offer, when we say work is worship, you will always be happy.
Happy, yes. In fact, I think, you know, people who have served Swami also close quarters, they say, you know, Swami is the brightest and Swami is the most ebullient self when he comes out for darshan.
Correct.
You know, because now if he's, I have an opportunity now to do, you know, to give ananda to people. So that positivity is what used to carry him.
Correct.
You know, physically, even if the body perhaps was not cooperating.
Yes.
I think that.
No, even you take the example of Prashanthi Nilaya, when he used to stay there.
Yes.
He used to tell that only. The same thing. He epitomized all these things. So his room.
Yeah.
In the first floor was, he used to say, the hottest place in the whole Puttaparthi is my room, west facing.
Yeah.
There was and it's in the first floor and there's nothing on top of it.
Yes.
And he used to stay in the small room with a very minimal, like one small, I think, a cot and a small table.
Table, that's it, yeah.
And in that he used to stay, but he never used to feel anything.
Yes.
I'm staying in a small place or something. But that energy when he used to come out was always full. And one more thing, what you're telling about that experience of Raman Rao, sir. Like once he called few of us when we were around, I think, 10, 15 years back. I don't remember the exact date. He called few of us, some around 7-8 boys. He came, we all went in. It's an excitement. When Swami calls you for interview, it's very special. Swami is so seeing him and sitting next to him. And then all of us were, we are all trying to come out, catch him, do some padnamaskar or see. Get one look from him. And we are all trying to vie for that. Swami told something which was mind-boggling. Even now, when I remember it, I get horripilation, like goosebumps. He said that it is my good fortune that I am seeing and talking to all of you.
Oh my God.
We were thinking, what is this? Like, as exactly the way, is it an exaggeration or what? Are we hallucinating? But Swami actually told that. He told, like, same thing. God is there only because devotees are there because you all pine for me. Basically, we are all waiting for his command.
Yes. Tell him something. An avatar is the concretization of the yearning of the devotees.
So,
Bhagavad Vaini Swami says.
Wow.
So it is so beautiful. Like Swami actually told that. Basically, we are all pining. It's not that devotion or pining or Gopika, but still, we wanted to.
A very important point which comes to my mind is, see, I look for bhakti. Not bhakta. I'm not attached to a devotee.
Yes.
It is the devotion that I'm attached. And if you look at yourself, we all look at ourselves. No, the intensity varies from time to time.
Correct.
So the whole sadhana is how to keep the yearning on.
Yes.
The yearning is the essence. True. And that is what attracts God towards us.
Yes. Wow. That is what keeps God going.
Yes, sir. Keeps God going. Correct.
So going further now.
Yeah, yes.
We'll just go further because
I know there is so much
things
more
are there in this too
to dwell upon. Yes. Let's peacefully go forward.
But yeah, when you said peacefully go forward, one thing which again came to my mind is we are talking about not an ordinary being. He's the avatar or the greatest being ever born.
Yes.
So when especially when you sent me this, like it was a eye-opener when, you know, it's very special.
Yes.
It's like Sandeha Nivarani, Bhakta also is like, actually it is that only. He only is the devotee, he only is God. But here, he actually enacted it.
Yeah.
Bhakta also, I think it's, he only writes in lieu of the Bhakta and he only answers it.
Yes.
So beautiful it is.
Yes.
So he actually is trying to voice out what the Bhakta should actually do.
What a genuine Bhakta.
True. And he really acts like a genuine Bhakta. Swami, I'm very restless. Please give me what I want. All that he's telling.
Yes.
And he's also trying to pacify you. That please, it's not that.
Yes.
Take rest.
Yes.
So, I one thing which I read...
Only Antaryami can do that.
Yeah, he only can understand all
yes,
that.
So true.
He has depicted those things which go on in our mind, what I want, how restless we are. So beautifully is depicted in these lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, what came to my mind is, anyway, we always have this course in our... when we do MBA and all that things. So, there's Patanjali Yoga Sutras, they call.
Yes.
So, they say the bridge between the external sadhana which you do, whatever we try to control our mind, like from external things try to control ourselves and try to go internal. They say the bridge between the two is asana. People say asana is what? Asana is just a mode of sitting or something.
Mm.
So, it's not actually that. According to Patanjali, it's just a very, very simple dictum. It's called sthiraha sukham asanam. Means it is very, very simple. Sthiraha means should be steady, should be comfortable, and that is asana.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually dwell deeper into it, like Swami is actually trying to tell, Bhakta, you have come to me to ask a question, but be ready for when I tell you something, be ready to accept what I am telling. Receive, because when the pot is not ready, if the pot is already full, what I'll put will go waste.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to tell, please pacify yourself,
mm-hmm.
come, have peace of mind, because sthiram means is not sthiram of the body.
Yes.
There it says that should have the stability and grounding of the mind also. Be ready to accept, because I can shake you. You will come with some notion about Atma Jnanam or whatever. I will shake it. It's like,
yes.
Sadhgurus are known for that. They'll shake you totally so that you actually accept what they're coming to tell you.
Mm.
Second is Sukham. Sukham means contentment. He's the same thing. He says, if you are restless, you have to do a Namaswarna. You do something.
Yes.
If not anything else, go sleep. And then come back, come fresh, come with rest and come.
Mm.
So after that only when you're ready for my ubodha, when you're ready for what I'm going to tell you, then only whatever I tell will make some impact on you.
Yes.
When I'm talking this, I remember a beautiful experience.
Mm.
We were in MBA. Out of the blue, we got a chance to perform in a presentation in a moral class.
Mm-hmm.
Moral class, you know, Thursday moral class, we have 1 hour presentation, three, four boys, they'll say, and you present. We got a topic of Judaism, Jews.
Okay.
So it's totally new to us. It's like, we have never read anything about it. So three days, we did night outs, we sat and we saw what is Jew, what is Moses, what is the Sabbath. They have a book called Talmud. All these things we studied a lot.
Mm.
Then we did a presentation.
Okay.
It went on well.
Okay.
1 hour presentation, 8 to 9 or something. And then the beautiful thing about these moral classes those days was, Warden will introduce you when Swami comes for darshan. After that, when he comes out, Swami says, "Boys, Swami, these boys did this thing today."
Oh, okay.
So like, nice. You can sit and Swami, I did this.
So physically.
Physically, you can ask Swami. Swami will clarify your doubts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami, okay, what you did? Oh, good and all that. So we were very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was a little tense because we are taking up something which is totally new.
Yes.
So we went and sat in Mandir.
That's a big motivation, right?
Yeah, it's a very big motivation to actually do the night hours and prepare and all that.
Yes.
So it was Judaism, the Jewish religion. So we had a little bit of knowledge. Fair idea.
Mm.
Two days, three night hours you do, whatever knowledge you have it.
Mm.
So we sat, we as if you know everything, and we sat there, and Warden Sir, Swami went for darshan. After interviews, he came out. And then... Warden sir, so Swami, today moral class, Ipilalu, they did this, these boys, they, Swami, oh, really? Good.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me what it is. He started.
Mm.
He started, okay, what is Judaism? Swami asked.
Mm.
So, we'll give an answer. Judaism is something where Moses gave some commandments. Who is Moses? Next question.
Mm.
So, we'll tell who is Moses. Swami is a saint. Who is a saint?
Mm.
So, it went on. And after some time, there'll be a silence.
Mm.
So, then he'll stop that, go to the next track.
Mm.
Okay, what else? Swami, Sabbath.
Mm.
Oh, what is Sabbath? Swami, one day in a week they do fasting. Why fasting?
Mm.
Why should... Swami, there's a book called Talmud. They're from there, they get these teachings, they do. Okay, what is Talmud? So, again, there'll be a set of questions, silence.
Mm.
Then, we'll be like, what is this? Finally, he'll come to a point where we can't say anything. We have to keep quiet.
Mm.
Then the third, one more track of questions he starts. Invariably, because you know, Swami is, he tells something, after 3-4 questions, we stop.
Mm.
So then, Swami Yukta says, oh, your thing is exhausted, you don't have nothing more to say.
Mm.
So he waits. Anything more?
Mm.
We are in complete silence. Three boys, three of us, fully exhausted. All our knowledge is gone. Everything is evaporated.
Mm.
Then Swami looks at us, and very significant. At that time, I never understood. Idi mimansa ra, idi mimansa. Swami says. So, okay, fine, okay, something. Mimansa is some esoteric thing and all you thought.
This is mimansa.
This is mimansa. Swami says, this is mimansa. Idi mimansa. Mimansa, like it was new for us, so mimansa, I thought some heavy word it is, we can't understand, we just left it. Later on, sometime, I don't know how it stuck me or I read a book or something, mimansa actually means atma vichara.
Okay.
And so beautifully Swami came to that, is where it should lead. And then immediately when I read this, one beautiful incident Swami talks about when Mother Sita, Anusuya, they go to Anusuya's ashram, and then Mother Anusuya comes and asks me, Sita, who is Rama? So, is he? She'll say no. Is he? She'll say no. Finally, after some 10 people, finally when Rama's turn comes, Sita becomes silent. So beautiful it is. And then this, all these things started coming to my mind. My God, what Swami told, it made so much of sense. Next, I'll tell you one more thing. Raman Maharshi, his only sadhana was, who am I?
Yes.
So I used to think, who am I means someone will answer, from inside will answer that I am this. Then when I read actually, it means the question itself will remove the questionnaire. Then whatever is left is the silence and the ultimate. So Swami so beautifully told that to us, that Idi Mimansa means he showed us practically. He made us go through he made us gain the knowledge of so-called whatever religion it is, made us practice it, and finally when the time of teaching or essence of it came, he told, please brothers, go to silence. Then only you'll understand what it is. So that time when he told, Mimansa he never understood. Mimansa he told, oh, some esoteric word. I asked Varun sir, yeah, it's something we had to see. That Swami always gives you that time to paripakvata. He allows you to get that fruition so that you understand what he said. It took few years, might be, to actually understand that.
Wow.
So this is so beautiful. So Atma, so only a Sadguru can make you ready and then also give you the Atma Vichara and give you the final outcome also. That's the beauty of, I think, Swami.
Wow. The end of knowledge is freedom.
Freedom. So first is silence.
Yes.
Silence of the mind. The automatically everything comes to you.
Yeah. Wow.
Beautiful.
Well, I think there is so much to discuss on this Atma Vichara, but I think before we go there, at a very mundane level, you know, here Swami is
No, telling, first we started with the asana only. We started with, please relax. calm your mind. But I don't know how we jumped. So let us come back. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I think just moving on from there, see, Swami's, when the bhakta is saying that, you know, my mind is restless, and Swami says that, if your mind is restless, which means there is a reason for it, because there is no effect without a cause. You certainly know the cause also.
You know the cause. That's what Swami says.
You certainly know the cause also. But Swami says, at such times of mental pain, when you have such mental pain, sit in a lonely place and do namasmana for a while, or sing bhajans or devotional songs in full throat.
Full throat.
And if that is not possible, spread the bed and sleep. I think, you know, even these are such simple practical tips, but I feel these will go a long way in steadying our mind,
correct.
Especially in most of the times, you know, when our mind is agitated, something happens, someone says something to us, and you know, it disrupts our peace, and you're unable to think, and at that point in time, if you take a decision, the decision is never going to be right, and if you respond again, your response may not be cordial.
Yeah.
So I think here Swami is so beautifully saying that all you have to do whenever your mind is agitated is chant. I think many of us perhaps do it, you know, with time it has come, but I think this is something that all Sai devotees, anyone, can take this tip.
It's a very simple one.
Very simple tip. I think, you know, you can chant. You can chant Gayatri Mantra. You can chant Om Shri Sairam. But I think whenever, if you feel that my mind is getting agitated, I'm suddenly getting very angry. I'm suddenly getting, I'm in driving and there's so much of traffic and, you know, I feel so
irritated.
Irritated.
Right?
So all I can do is, Swami says, you know, if you're in the car, you can sing loudly. Yeah?
Yes.
But just, there is no problem.
Yeah, loudly. I remember one more thing. Like some elders back home, I remember one elder came to me and told about bhajans. I think Swami told us very beautifully. You should sing full throat, should sing with full clapping. Why? Yes. Because Swami says, you imagine you're sitting under a tree, which has a lot of birds, which of all negative qualities.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Crows. Okay, crows of all negative qualities. So when you sing full throat and clap, so with that noise, they should just fly off. So, so everywhere Swami has put that, that spiritual component in it. So beautiful. So simple it is to actually follow this.
Actually, you know, with the positive, singing that you do, you will subdue all the negative.
Correct.
Isn't it?
Correct.
You overpower the negative with the power of the positive. So...
What happens generally, you know, when you look at it at the first instance, no, it looks very simple.
Hmm.
And this is one of the issues with many people. Will it work? Okay. Hmm. They think, okay.
Yes.
Because mind takes over. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So... the thing is, no, once you do it, actually you see the effect.
Correct.
Just because it looks simple, no, don't just drop it off.
Because it's too silly.
It appears.
Yes, appears.
That is again the trick of mind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So once you actually do it and people have tried it, they have seen the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Now one, and
unless someone comes with a big theory and a jargon and an integrated approach to a five-step
presentation
approach to calming the agitation.
No. So the main complaint is when that situation comes, it is not that we are prepared. It comes abruptly and we are not prepared, okay?
Yes.
And at that moment, to remember all this, okay? So that is one of the main, and suppose you get suddenly you get a short temper, anger in the office.
Yeah.
You can't start singing bhajans, right?
Yeah.
So then Swami has given in several occasions, if you get angry, what all to do?
Yes.
First, you move out. Just walk away.
Correct.
Take 1 kilometer walk or something.
Yes.
Or drink a cold glass of water.
Yes.
Or look at yourself in the mirror.
Yes.
There's so,
so many things he has
told. So many tips he has given.
Yes.
Actually, a person who genuinely wants to work on himself, he will find a way.
Correct.
Okay. And even these tips, I mean, which Swami has given very beautifully, it appears very simple.
Yes.
And the mind which thinks it knows, which we'll come to it later,
yes,
the avidya and vidya, in that it comes, it thinks it knows. That is the biggest problem.
Mm.
Okay. So even when God himself comes and tells, no.
You say, Swami, I know.
It's like first you take the paracetamol, no? Then you see. It looks very simple, a small white.
Mm.
Let it allow it to work. You know?
Yes.
So that is one thing which... with the teachings of Avatar, which especially teaching of Swami, it appears very simple, but it is very powerful.
Yes.
It is very, very powerful, provided we take an iota of it and at least start practicing
them.
Without practice, it is all intellectual gymnastics and discussion.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So then Swami goes on and, so the Bhakta slowly comes out.
Yes.
With his problem. And he says, when something is very dear to a person and that thing is subjected to harm, will mind not lose its peace? Each one of us has something or the other which is close to their heart, and someone does something to that thing. And of course, that is when you lose your peace. How can I be in peace, Swami? What should I do then? And here Bhagavan says, a virtuous person who has grasped Atma Vichara will not disrespect others' likes and dislikes, nor will he associate with them. I think here, the way Swami says that no matter what happens, if you are a person of Atma Vichara, then anything that anyone else does will not affect you.
Just so that we all are in the same page, when you say Atma Vichara, in what perspective you are saying?
Yes, so I think Atma Vichara is something that all of us need to discuss. And
not going very deep into it, but
yes,
a general perspective in which we are discussing, because we are using the word Atma Vichara.
Yes, and Swami has not explained Atma Vichara
in this,
but I think it's very simple. Translation of Atma Vichara is self-inquiry, isn't it?
Self-inquiry. And in the context which Bhargava brother just now explained in the incident that he shared is a series of genuine questions which follows one after the other.
Correct.
Okay. It is not that we are trying to prove something. It is a natural thing which comes out.
Correct.
And one who is genuinely doing it, you know, we don't get into the argumentation.
Yes.
Even if two people are sincerely, taking this approach, there's no scope of getting into argument because ego is not what is driving it. It is a genuine sense of finding the truth. So when that is as the base, Atma is the base, then there is no scope of argument. So in the sense that when Swami says the people with Atma Vichara, very few people might be in that, making an effort in that,
in that line of
thinking, or way of life.
Here Swami is saying that, see, I would think every person who's sincere on the spiritual path is on the path of Atma Vichara.
Yes, yes.
And here Swami is saying that if someone is saying something to hurt others or doing anything which will cause harm to another then that person is definitely not on the path.
Not in the path of Atma Vichara. So you don't have to take that person seriously.
So don't take that person seriously.
Don't take it seriously. Yes. It's like one very beautiful tip somebody gave me. So when you are going in the traffic, we had mentioned about traffic. No? Sometimes suddenly, you know, the auto rickshaw people or bike people, suddenly they'll come and they'll take a turn.
Mm.
Okay, because they say here they don't follow the rules. They follow, they drive with impulse. Okay. So, in the beginning it's very difficult, but one person just gave me a very beautiful tip. Just think that everybody in the road is blind, okay? You're the only person having eyes.
Correct.
Okay, just think that and then you go. And it, that perspective, no, gave me a lot of inner peace, okay? Like, means I don't expect, you know, from a blind person, what do you expect?
What do you expect? Correct.
So I imagine for me, everybody is blind, okay? So I have to, like, a mother who has to take care of her children, no? In that sense, I'm, so whole perspective and experience has changed.
Changes,
now.
Yes.
Earlier, I was getting so irritated. Now that irritation is gone.
Because they are blind, so, oh Lord, forgive them for they know. No,
even if suddenly they turn, no, I thought, okay. I mean, internally, say, okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Earlier, I'll just, we'll look at, we exchange glance, no? Now it's like a compassionate glance. So, I mean, it really makes a lot of difference. So, when Swami says, those people who are in the Atma Vichara will definitely not hurt you.
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
And those who are doing with the intention, don't even have to take them seriously.
Just
pass by.
Just coming back to this again, Atma Vichara, like, if you actually start reading some books or something and actually start thinking about what is truth, what is God, what is self and all that. So you actually think you are doing self-inquiry when you think about that. But what I feel, Swami will, when you are on the path, Swami will come and give you a real jolt and give you a nice lesson. So that is what we'll give you that input which will make you a little more wiser. I'll just give an example. And it'll come from some like unexpected quarters. So in Mandir only, I think I was sitting and reading some book, Who Am I or something, I don't remember. So when one boy comes to me, he says, Swami always tells this, body is like a mad monkey. Sorry, body is like a water bubble. Mind is like a mad monkey. Don't follow the body, don't follow the mind. Follow the Atma.
Yes.
I told, so nice, it's so beautiful. I told, what is nice, brother, in this? I'm not able to understand anything. I told, what do you need to understand? See, you say body is like a water bubble. Mind is like a mad monkey. What is mind? Because he ever studied this in our awareness class. So mind is made up of manas, chitta, buddhi, ahankara and all that. So four aspects of it are there. So intellect, the four aspects.
Yes.
So don't follow the body, don't follow the mind, follow the Atma. See, we have Atma, we have mind, we have body. So who has to follow? He asked me. Yeah, really correct. No, like, I saw at intellect. No, brother, intellect is already part of mind. You know that. It will, correct. So who has to follow? When he put that question to me, like, it will, correct. Who has to follow Atma then? So after that, like, then I understood that finally it has to reach that place where there is nothing else which is there.
Yes,
so basically, absolutely. So this is all, Swami says, he'll give you that mental gimmicks, gymnastics, so that you finally go to where their mind says, just shut up and sit down, nothing is there, sort of a thing. So here, I used to just, like a paradise repeated or to understand it. But when this boy came and actually asked me, I told, correct. Actually, who is there to follow? Who is there not to follow these two and who is there to follow Atma? Correct. Actually, when I went back and read actually somewhere, Swami told, yes, actually there is nothing to follow actually. If you understand that there is nothing to follow, be at peace.
Yes.
Be relaxed. That's enough.
In day-to-day thing, no, one thing when we dissect, this is buddhi, this is manas, this is chitta. And if we try to try to practice, no? Which I also try. It becomes, but one thing which simplifies, if you follow Swami's teaching, you know, Swami is Paramatma, okay? Swami is yes. God. He's Atma, God. If you follow Swami, what Swami has told, so simple. You're following Atma. Straight
correct.
Away.
Yeah. Correct.
It's beautiful.
So Swami has made it
very
so
practical.
Simple. Practical. You know, just follow Swami. Swami has told us, just switch off your brain. Don't you?
Don't use the mind.
Swami has told us, just do it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of having avatar in our life, being a contemporary, knowing that, and we are blessed with his teaching. He has written the Vahinis for more than 30 years.
Yes.
Every month he used to write.
Right. Yes. Correct.
So we are so lucky. All we have to do is follow his teaching. Okay. You're directly in the path.
Indirectly on the path.
You don't have to dissect your buddhi. This correct, correct. Is not required.
Like one more beautiful example. When he told it, I just remembered. There's a beautiful story of Swami Shivananda. When later on, that person became Swami Niranjanananda. So he... From childhood only, he used to have a lot of some visions, and he'll go into some deep trance and all that. So he came to Shivananda, I want Atmagyanam from you. He told, yeah, Atmagyanam you want? Okay, can you do something for me? He told, yes, whatever you say, I will do, because I heard that you are Atmagyani. Okay, we have a kitchen, go and cut vegetables. I will tell you. So he goes and cuts vegetables for next 8 years.
Oh.
8 years. Whenever he'll come back and ask Atmagyanam, I'll tell you, you cut vegetables.
BTSD was cutting vegetables.
Only cutting vegetables. And like, helping in kitchen.
Mm.
So it doesn't end there. Then after that, he gets disgusted. What is this? I came for Atmagyanam, you're making me doing all the kitchen work and all that. Serving. Actually, it's a great thing actually. Serving people, devotees. there is a kitchen actually. I've gone to Shivananda Ashram. There's a beautiful kitchen. They serve people, all the monks who come and all the people who come. That's so. This is quite some, maybe 50s or 60s. Then he comes back again to him and then he says, what is this? This is not the way. I came here for Atmagyanam. I came here for learning what is Samadhi and you are telling me all these things. Okay, I'm really sorry. I hurt your feelings. One more request. If you do this, I will give what you want. Told, yes, tell me what to do. He was very fond of press. He used to take out so many books and small books, booklets and all that. I have a press which is just in the starting stage. Can you help in the printing of the books and all, proofreading and all that? Okay. So he goes. That again, another 5-7 years or something. Same thing. Same story continues there also. He'll come and he'll say, no. I'll tell you tomorrow, 1 month. And it keeps on going. So after some time, his... patience gives way. He says, enough is enough. What is this? I came and wasted 14, 15 years with nothing here. And then one day he decides that I will not even tell him, I'll just go. So he packs his bags and maybe after 10 years, for 15, I don't know exact time. He just silently on Monday morning, he packs his bags and starts going out of the ashram. Immediately one attendant of the Swamiji, Shivananda, comes and says, he's calling you. How he came to know? He's calling you, come. So he goes... He says, what happened? No, enough is enough. I came for Atmagyanam. You're making me cutting vegetables. You're making me print papers for you. This is not what I've come here for. So, okay, fine. Now you do one thing. You've done whatever I've given you with lot of devotion, lot of sincerity and with lot of intensity you've done this. Do one thing. Just go on the other side of Ganga. Sit. There's a small kutir. He used to have a kutir. Just go and sit there. Just go and sit there, he says. So he used to meditate and all that for years before coming here. After coming here, he never had time to even sit and Padmasanam also, leave aside meditation. So he says, you won't believe, he read this thing, you won't believe I went and sat there. When I sat there, that's all. I became totally one with that. Totally became one with that. So exactly what he's telling. If what Swami says is actually the Parabrahman telling. If you follow what he says, whenever time comes, it's like how Sesana Janaka just climbed the horse and he got Atmagyanam. Yes. It is so simple. Only thing is, follow what Swami says, might be take one of them and start doing it, it will happen to you. So just I thought, add to your story. Add to the story of...
Yes. Amazing. Wow. Well, so many perspectives, but we know Atmavichara is a very deep concept. I mean...
And you're not doing justice. We're giving us 2 pages of Swami. Every word of Swami can be...
I know.
I appreciate it.
I know. And because, you know, in one discourse I was reading, Bhagavan mentions that the Atma is beyond the Jagrata, Swapna, Sushupti, it is beyond deep sleep, because that is the only witness of even deep sleep. It is beyond all these stages. It is beyond the gross, subtle, causal. It is beyond even that. So for us to understand that through the senses
is impossible.
It's not possible.
The capacity of
it's
our...
beyond the capacity of the senses to actually understand that. But what Swami says is, basically the whole process is just removing everything that is covering it. That's what Swami said. It is basically all these koshas. The Anandamaya kosha is the final stage. But you know, this Annamaya, Pranamaya,
Most of us stuck with Annamaya kosha.
Yeah, most of us. Yes, I had that food level.
I've not had my dinner till now.
So I think Atmavichara is basically only that manifestation of, you know, Swami very beautifully says in one discourse that when you say that you went to this teacher, and then you learned this. Swami says, how did that happen? Did the teacher give you that? Swami says, no, the teacher did not give you that. It was there in you.
In you already it was there.
It was there in you.
Correct.
Swami says, if you dig a well in a particular spot, then you, when you find water, it is because the water was there. It's just that you dug deeper.
Deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that you put water into it or someone else put water into it. Water was already there. All you have to do was go deep. So what happens here also when you go to a teacher and in the whole process of Atmavichara is once you go deep.
Automatically.
Yeah, the teacher, you're just removing the earth, removing everything else that is not truth. Then the truth
it's
comes out.
It's a process of unraveling.
Unraveling. Anyway, I think that...
Because you told, I got one more thought about it. Just, Ramana tells a beautiful, he gives a very beautiful description of this. It's called the flowering of the question. Means, if you have a question, like Vivekananda says, you live it. You sit with it, you eat with it, you sleep with it, you walk with it, you do everything with it. With that one question which you have. If you do that, that question will take such a gigantic proportion that it will dissolve everything else and whatever will remain will be you. So, one example of this is Dhruva. Dhruva wanted one small, simple question. I want to sit on the lap of my father. With that one question, he just went to the forest and did tapas, whatever, with all the intensity. Question is very simple. I want to pray to him for this. But when actually God appeared, he gave him everything. So that intensity is very important, like he was telling. Start that sadhana, whatever. Take a small step with intensity. Automatically things will happen.
So here, when we come back to what Bhagavan has written about this restlessness of the person, so Swami is saying, if someone is abusing you, just think that person is not on the path of Atmavichara. You know.
Yeah. At the same time, we should not become egoistic. In
yes, absolutely.
Okay. Judging.
Yes, exactly. To think that I am on the path.
That is a very dangerous
thing. Very dangerous thing. Yeah. Definitely. But it is just that, as Swami says, you know, when on the road, if an elephant is going and if a dog barks, he does not care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. So it's something like that. You know, somebody is saying something which, with little knowledge.
Yeah.
So why unnecessarily lose your mind and lose your peace? There are better things to do for you.
One more example which
and,
comes.
And the other thing also is, you know, if you fight, as they say, you know, a pig that has come out of the slush, you know, if you go and
fight
with that, then you know the dirt is only going to come on
you.
Yeah.
No, in the perspective that we should not become egoistic, it is more of how we manage ourselves.
Yes.
The example where a person was fishing in the boat,
yes,
and from behind one more boat comes and hits that boat, and he's so irritated and he turns behind,
yes,
and he sees the boat is empty. That instant the anger also
goes on.
Yes.
So if there is nobody there,
correct.
The ego is not there.
Yes.
So it's more like for us that we don't lose the mental peace.
Yes.
With that perspective we are telling that a person who doesn't have an Atmavichara, it's not
correct.
With the perspective that we are superior and some people are superior.
No.
It's not. That perspective should be clear.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So then Swami, I think... the bhakta goes into the details of what is bothering him, and he talks about, Swami, when you are doing so much for everyone and you are so dear to us, and somebody is saying something about you which is incorrect and silly, what do they gain by all this? And the way Bhagwan begins to answer that, actually Swami goes into the nature of the world.
It's a very natural thing. The way he says it's very, very natural.
Don't be surprised that someone is doing this.
Yeah. No, but yeah, why for this because this is something which really is a conundrum. We always get caught with good and bad.
Yes.
Why good are not rewarded, bad are always. So this thing. So it's a very beautiful. I just came across one article about one Mr. Douglas Kooster. I don't know whether you heard. This is a very famous episode, actually. It happened in 1963. He was the editor of Chicago Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some forward came sometime, I remember. So, what happened was, he used to take care of this kids segment. Kids will write him some questions and he'll answer them and all that. So, one question which always used to bother him and people used to write is, we are so good, we don't get any reward. Someone is bad, he gets a lot of reward. So he was very, very upset. He was very irritated. How to answer this? Because he himself was not getting an answer for this.
Mm.
So one day what he says is a beautiful experience. He says, one small girl, 7-year-old girl, Mary, she writes a letter to him that, see, I made all the cookies and kept them all ready on the table. My mother came and told, you're a good girl. But My brother, David, was a mischievous boy. He should do all sorts of mischiefs in the house. He got the cookie. I didn't get the cookie. I only got good girl. Why I didn't get the cookie? So it really troubled him. It really troubled Mr. Kooster that what should I answer? This is something which was going on in my mind. So maybe Swami gave him the answer. It's a beautiful answer, actually. That few days after that, one friend calls him for a wedding. Somewhere wedding was happening in a church. So he goes to the church to attend the wedding. So there what happens is, he sees that in that tension of changing the rings and all that, the bride and the groom, they start putting the ring on the right hand of each other. So the priest humorously says, the right hand doesn't need the ring. The ring is needed on the left hand, because right is always right. It's always complete. So he says that, I just went for the insignificant event, but it gave me such understanding that the people who are right because that is their gift. God has given the gift of being good. That's enough for them. So he writes a letter to that girl that you are good because God made you good. That is a gift to you. It became a very big sensation that time. It came in many, many papers. So the meaning of this is, the decorations, embellishments and all that are needed for people who are not complete. When you are good, you are moral, you are already complete. You don't need anything more.
The goodness itself
is because God has given you that gift.
That you are having a good samskara is in itself the greatest
reward. Like, I was thinking this way, like I do some very good work in my office and all that, and they celebrate and they come and give me an ice cream. I eat the ice cream, I ate the ice cream, what more? What should I get for eating ice cream? You will never ask that. Ice cream is a reward. So being good is a reward. We don't need to get anything more than that. It's actually difficult to actually follow it, but this makes a lot of sense.
Yes. No, I think definitely. I mean, the happiness that you get of being what you are.
Yes.
I mean, that itself is the reward. Because if you're looking for something external, then that is never ever going to satiate you.
Correct.
Because today you look for something else. And today you got one ice cream and tomorrow you'll get bored with ice cream and you'll want something else. So, yeah, here Bhagwan is saying that don't be really surprised if someone is abusing you. You know, as Bhagwan says, when it is happening to even God,
what is there for?
Correct. Who are you?
So Swami also gives the example of a tree, you know, which is laden with a lot of fruits. That only gets the maximum stones.
Maximum stones, correct.
Yes.
A tree without fruits will not get any any stones.
But I think, you know, this is something that has such tremendous practical implication for us, because every other day we feel that somebody has spoken something about us, or some relative has said something which is not nice, or some friend has mentioned something which is not proper against about me. And so here Swami is telling that, you know, first thing, as I feel, whenever you have something like this, there are two ways to look at it. I will, you either laugh it off or shake it off.
Correct.
So here Swami is telling you just shake it off, because one thing is, if going by what Bhagavan has mentioned before, that, you know, out of ignorance they are saying that, you know, they don't know much.
And a person who is really true to his conscience, you know,
yes,
he'll always be at peace.
He'll always
all
be
this will. See, if you're not true, only if a person is not true to his conscience,
yes,
and adding to that, the world will not change, okay? The world will all keep, he or she will get more agitated.
Yes.
If you are very, very true to your own conscience, honest to your conscience, you'll be at peace inside. And that peace will, like, nothing can affect that peace. Yes. Whether.
Bhargav, you remember Swami used to mention how people in discourse, Swami should say, somebody calls me a
Butta Burra.
Butta Burra.
Butta Burra means, yeah,
one with lot of hair.
Crown of hair.
Crown.
You know. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
They call me Butta Burra. They say whatever names they call me. Yeah. I don't mind. Yeah. Like in the same, Shirdi Baba also. He's in one chapter in Shirdi Sajjaratra. He says that should be happy if someone is reviling you, because the reviler has his way, own way of cleansing your karmas. Yes. So how is it? They ask. He says, see, someone cleans it with soap. He removes your bad by the use of his tongue. He reviles you and actually removes some negativity of you.
It's really a very selfless seva.
It's a very selfless seva.
He's taking the karma. You should be thankful for that.
No, but we should not be doing it.
We should learn at least.
Yes. I mean, that's another perspective. You can feel happy actually.
Yes.
Just like someone says, if someone takes away your slipper, they think that your karma is gone.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So, the different perspectives, I think there is definitely some truth to all this in terms of, we never know the scheme of things in the nature, but definitely these perspectives help us to be at peace.
Yes.
And I think that is the most important thing.
It's something which has to be cultivated.
Cultivated, yes.
And this type of satsang that we're doing,
yes,
it's more of a reminder to us.
Yes.
It strengthens in day-to-day practice.
Yes.
So this will not come overnight.
Yeah, of course.
But it will take its own. But we have to be on it.
Yes. So one thing is, so here are two points. One thing is what we discussed before is don't really bother so much because they have said something with little knowledge.
Correct.
And the second thing is don't be surprised at all first. You know, we get surprised. How did this happen? First of all, you should not even have that question, because that is the nature of the world.
The problem is we in the first place have an expectation from the world. That is the expectation is within us. And that is why we are taken by surprise.
Yeah.
In the first place, then the root cause of that surprise is within us.
Yes.
So what is within us is at least in our control. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that we should not have any expectation from anybody, but the fact that we have put that expectation.
Yes.
And the world is reacting in that way.
Yeah, if somebody abused us, then you should always feel that is only natural.
No, Swami gives a beautiful simile actually. The world, he says, is if there's a small hole and there's a scorpion inside.
Yes.
So when you put your finger inside that, it will only bite you. So
it'll bite you.
The world is like that. If you put, you come into the world, it'll bite you. But you should not bother about it. It's not very easy, because when a scorpion bites you, it actually pains.
Yes. But the thing is, if you know.
Yes.
If you know about it, the whole thing is being prepared for it.
Correct.
You know that, this is going to happen. I'm in the world, and this is all something which is constantly changing. And here there is good and bad. So I think once you have those things sort of settled in your mind, then it'll be very easy to deal with whatever comes your way.
Nobody can make you feel bad without your permission.
Without your permission.
Correct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. I think we've just come perhaps halfway of what we thought we could discuss today. There is so much more, and I guess we will have to continue this in the coming episode of Vahini Satsang, because it's already 9:35. But it's been definitely such a beautiful experience. I think, you know, that is what Satsangam does, you know. Probably we thought we have only one way of looking at it, but you know,
there are so many perspectives.
There are so many perspectives, and each one of us can take at least one thing, as we discussed, and make that part of our life, and derive that joy of walking and being like Swami, joy of being a Sai Bhakta actually.
Correct.
The joy of being a Sai Bhakta is something that we have to really unravel and live by. And that is what will make Swami proud. Thank you so much, brothers KM Ganesh and Bhargav.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bharaj Pishu.
And we hope and pray that Swami allows us to continue this in the coming episodes of Vaini Satsang. So, dear listeners, you know, it almost feels like we just stopped even before we started. It feels like that because there is so much that Swami has mentioned. And, well, he's infinite and his wisdom and his whatever he has given us is also infinite. And we don't have to know everything. If you take even one drop, that is enough. As Swami says, one drop is enough to know the taste of the ocean. All we are doing is we are just sanctifying our time. So do join us in the coming episode as we move on with the rest of the first segment of Chapter 2 of Sandhya Nivarani. And if you have any queries, if you have any suggestions, if you have any insights, as I always mention, please feel free to send us by email or on WhatsApp. You know, when you read this segment, you know, just like when three of us met and we had multiple perspectives, and you definitely would be having your own experiences, your own understandings and experiments with living this kind of life. So please feel free to share your thoughts and let us hold each other's hand and walk on this path joyfully. As always, our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. You can WhatsApp us also. Our number is 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet. We take leave and bring the day-long Thursday life to a close. Thank you so much. Sayonara.